This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Sila CMUT community ngoku invitewa u Vice Chancellor and Principal wethu u Professor Sibiya ukuthi sizowulalela i address yakhe. Emva kwe address yakhe sixoxe sibuze imibuzo sithole impendulo. Colleagues who are all here, as we have been invited by our Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Sibiya, to come and listen to her address. After her address, there will be meaningful discussion, through question and answer session. MUT community, our program is not that long. The first item, it's welcome and address by Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Sibiya. The second item, it's open and discussion and question and answer session. The last and third item is the closure, which will be done by our Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Sibiya. In the interest of time, MUT community, I won't waste time. I'll call upon our Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Sibiya, to welcome us and deliver her address. Over to you, Prof.
Thank you so much, Program Director, for the kind introduction. Executive management, faculty deans, heads of departments. I haven't seen convocation. If ever they are here, I want to recognize convocation members, student representative council, staff and students, esteemed guests, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Since my appointment as the Vice Chancellor last year, I made a commitment to fostering openness and ensuring that every member of our university community has a platform to engage in meaningful discussions about our institution. Today, I stand before you proud to say that I have honored that promise. Before I proceed with the opening remarks, I would like to take this opportunity to extend my heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for being here. Your presence is a testament to your dedication to the growth and success of our university. The Vice Chancellor's conversation with the MUT community is more than just a dialogue. It is a space where both staff and students can openly engage with me, share their insights, and actively contribute to shaping a sustainable and thriving future for our institution. Ladies and gentlemen, let us seize this opportunity to engage in constructive discussions that will drive positive change and propel MUT to even greater heights. Together, we can make MUT stronger, more innovative, and a university we are all proud to be part of. Colleagues, it is a known fact that institutions of higher education are navigating an era of profound challenges, facing mounting pressures to evolve and adapt. The landscape of higher education is shifting rapidly, demanding accountability, innovation, and resilience. However, instead of being recognized for groundbreaking research, intellectual advancements, and transformative innovations made in South African universities, including MUT, are making headlines for the wrong reasons. Stories of nepotism, intimidation, financial mismanagement, corruption, and governance crisis frequently overshadow the academic and social contributions of our institutions. These issues not only tarnish the reputation of universities, but also erode public trust, fueling a growing perception that some institutions are operating beyond the bounds of accountability, becoming a law unto themselves. If we are to change this narrative, we must take decisive steps to restore integrity, transparency, and good governance within our institutions. It is imperative that universities reclaim their rightful place as centers of knowledge, excellence, and social progress. By fostering ethical leadership, reinforcing accountability, and prioritizing academic and institutional integrity, we can shift the focus back to what truly matters. Advancing, that is, advancing education, research, and the future of our students. Program Director, I want to mention that MUT has grappled throughout its history. Last year, we celebrated 45 years anniversary. But throughout MUT's history, we have grappled with substantial challenges in three areas. That is governance, maladministration, and corruption. Since 1994, four assessors have been appointed by the Minister of Higher Education and Training, and the university has been placed under administration on two occasions. We've just came out of the second administration on the 10th of January, 2025. The common challenges raised by the assessors include lack of proper and effective governance, inadequate leadership and management capacity, divisive and unhealthy institutional culture, weak and outdated policies, and inconsistent implementation of procedures, lack of clarity around the academic identity. Over the years, these causes have contributed to the compromised financial position and academic project that the university finds itself in. In 2024, that is last year, the university had a deficit of 27 million. Amongst the reasons for this huge deficit, it was low tuition fee increase and capping of accommodation fees by NSFAS, which in effect resulted in MUT having to reduce its student accommodation fees. As we are well aware, that is our major source of income. MUT's total reserve sustainability ratio was 0.83, and council-controlled unrestricted reserve ratio was 0.62, which both are below 1, which is a requirement or which is an indication of a financially sustainable university. MUT, I must indicate that MUT does not have cash reserves to carry out operations over an extended period without the block grant subsidy from DHET. Compromise academic project with 49 recommendations from the CHE institutional audit is an indication that our academic project is compromised. As a result, our PQM, our program and qualification mix, when we submit to DHET for PQM clearance, and when we submit to CHE for consideration for accreditation, our submissions are not receiving the attention they deserve. And the reasons, one of the reasons is that these would be considered once we have effective leadership for the academic enterprise at MUT. Coping with these challenges and being ready for the scenarios of the future requires strong, effective, and proactive organizations. Hence the reason why I initiated the platform where I engage with the MUT community on matters that concerns us as the family of this institution. As the Vice Chancellor and Principal, I am not comfortable with the notion of change in higher education because some changes I have experienced did not make me happy as an individual. However, regardless of my personal experiences, I know that universities cannot survive without change. While almost everything has been changing around it, the university cannot persist as an ivory tower, since the drives to change are undeniable and very powerful. Higher education institutions have to plan, implement, and evaluate change continuously. They also have to facilitate unplanned or emergent changes. Now, colleagues, I want to remind you of my vision. I did share my vision during my installation on the 1st of November, 2024. My vision for MUT is to transform it into a leading institution of higher learning, recognized for its academic excellence, innovation, and positive social impact. I see MUT as a university that fosters an inclusive and dynamic learning environment where both staff and students are empowered to reach their highest potential. While I acknowledge that there is room for growth and improvement, particularly in our operations, I firmly believe that through collaboration, we can transform our institution for the better. However, this vision cannot be realized without your support. Each of you play a vital role in bringing stability to our university and striving for excellence across all areas in our operations. Together as one community, we hold the power to shape a brighter future for MUT, one defined by innovation, resilience, and shared purpose. With your commitment, I am confident that we can achieve greatness and transform our university into a beacon of excellence. Again, during my installation last year, I emphasized my belief on transformational leadership, and I want to say I still stand by that today. I therefore urge every one of you to commit to working together effectively. My aspiration is that under my leadership, I will be remembered as a visionary leader who not only transformed MUT, but also positively impacted the lives of our students and staff. It is my firm belief that we all share a collective responsibility to reposition MUT for future success. To do so, we must embrace a shift in our approach, adopting what I like to call business unusual. We cannot rely on traditional methods if we are to elevate this institution to new heights. By 2030, I have no doubt that MUT will stand as a transformed institution, one that is more innovative, inclusive, and aligned with the evolving demands of both academia and the broader world. The new strategy will be a beacon guiding us towards this transformation, ensuring we remain committed to excellence and growth. Together we have the power to shape a new future for MUT, and I'm confident that we are on the right path to achieving it. Before I close, I wish to remind you of our new mantra for our success at MUT that I shared with you last year at my installation. The Excel. I will keep reminding you about this mantra, the Excel, which is drawn from my vision of academic excellence, financial sustainability, and socioeconomic development. Excel, which is an acronym E for elevating academic excellence, X factor innovation, C community engagement, community development, E engagement, and L leadership for a better future. I continue to challenge everyone to create your own Excel so that you can make a difference in the lives of others and remember that our work is a calling to better the lives of others. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice-Chancellor and Principal, Professor Sibiya, for a holistic address you just gave us. You had indicated challenges, and I'm happy that you indicate that if we work together, we are able to resolve these challenges. So as the MUT community, we are expected to work together, support our VC and management so that we can resolve these challenges. Okay, let's quickly move, colleagues, now to item 2, open discussion and question and answer session. We'll do this in this way. We'll take the first round of questions. Then we allow management and the vice chancellor to respond to those. Then we'll take the next round. Can you indicate with a show of hands if you have questions? Jade, who are you? Yes. That's one. Another hand. Okay, for now, let's take that first question.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mukachara Machiba, and I am from Environmental Health Department. I'm doing third level. So we had a vision with my friends that I attend church with. So we wanted to have a change makers MUT. And our vision was to change unfavorable circumstances of MUT by forging students into resilient characters that possess emotional, financial, spiritual, and mental intelligence with a foundation of success for the near future. Our mission is to utilize gain knowledge, empathy, intuitions, developed personal knowledge, experience, biblical scripture, expert counsel, and financial resources to build a healthy family of students who have purposeful student and Christian lives, having been rescued from the clutches of doomed experiences and being led to futures filled with astounding, realistic, achievable, and sensational dreams after being nurtured of every aspect of their lives, respectively. And I would really love your collaboration in this endeavor, your assistance, budget-wise, as a developing student. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other hand? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Bingelele. Ngiyaxolisa ngokuthi ngona umcimbi. Siyabonga ukuthi sesinayo uDVC resources and planning acting. Kodwa kunama issues prof esingekho right ngawo. One, sicela ukuthi kwi-management menhlele nixoxe noma nithathe iy'nqumo. Iy'nqumo akube iy'nqumo ey'cabangayo ukuthi sabantu sizele siney'ngane. Akwazi ukuthi uma ningenayo imali namakhona inkinga ey'khona, into yokuqala efika emqondweni ukuhlebhula ama-benefits abasebenzi. Okokuqala lokho. Akusithokozisi konke lokho, kukwenza sifile ukuthi asikho appreciated kule ndawo. Kukhona abasebenzi ababe frustrated la kurejistwa, iy'ngane zabo kwazi kwavala ama-registration. I-university kuthiwa isithe angeke basakhokhelwa abantu. Kuze kwafanele ukuthi-ke kube khona iy'ngxoxo, kubanjwa nangey'hluthi wagcina sekulunga lokho. Siyakubonga lokho. I-ishu yami sifika kanjani lapho? Ileyo nje ukuthi sifika kanjani ey'nqumweni ezidecida ukuthi labantu akwayibona abasebenzayo abanza e-university uthi ngaso sonke isikhathi ihlezi shine. Kube yibona ukuthi uma kukhona iy'nkinga usiwazi likhala kubona. Okokuqala lokho. Okwesibili, prof, anenzi kahle kwi-department yakandaba zabantu. Niyaxhuga nje kakhulu. Uyabo. Kufanele ngabe njengamanje sikumatch. Abasebenzi sebethola iy'mali zabo ze-increment. Kuze kube yimanje asikayitholi yonke leyo nto. In fact, ukubahlebela nje abasebenzi asikaxoxi ngisho ukuxoxa ukuthi yini eniyibeke etafuleni. Ngoba ngibona ukuthi ninomzimba ongaqondi ukuthi kufanele kwenzakaleni la uhleli khona. Okwesithathu, ngikhumbuze impela nani nathule manje. Hayi, ngizobuya ngibuye prof.
Hey, thanks. Yes, there's a third one and behind.
Angibonge ithuba, program director. Greetings to the executive management and the colleagues. Gamalam Nomkhosi Ndlovu from the sport department. Just have a couple of questions. One of them is, what are the plans to address the staffing shortage and improving the recruitment process? I'll just make an example, Prof. In the sports department, there are 4 permanent staff members, the deputy director, secretary, and 2 sports officers, and that includes myself. And that is to service roughly about 14,000 students. And we are supposed to provide support services in terms of our mental capacity and well-being. I don't think that is fair. We are also not doing justice to the students in terms of their academic, after their academic sessions, they're supposed to be engaged in support services. And this is sports, which is something very crucial and important. Now, how do we do that when there are only 2 sports officers in the entire university? And that has been going on for years. That is my one question. I think this one has also been raised several times, but I'll raise it again. There's a lot of emphasis on the academic career development, but in terms of support staff, there isn't none. Yes, we do get the opportunity of furthering our studies, but I'm not really looking at monetary value, but in terms of our career, you know, capacity development as well, in terms of career progression, are there any plans for the support staff per se? I also feel that there is something wrong. You cannot, I'll make an example, maybe you've been working in the institution for more than 10 years in the same role, but you have capabilities of progression, but there are no developmental plans or a policy in line to assist, you know, colleagues in that aspect. The other one is the university is not friendly for disabled students and maybe some staff members. And, you know, that is very worrying as an institution and the University of Technology. You know, what is the plan to improve the infrastructure? And that includes the sports facilities. We see so many projects and development, but nothing has been said in terms of sports. There's only one soccer field, which is the newly renovated, refurbished sport facility. At the same time, we're expected to do miracles. How do we do that when there's only one sport facility? Thank you. That's it for now.
Thank you very much. I noted a hand behind you. Yeah, that was a hand.
Sanbonan. My interest lam ngizokhuluma as isimbe student. Ever since ngafika la institution, as a semester student as Tajangel, which I don't understand why, because we are also student at Tsanungosu. Kule viki esuka kulona, we were writing about test yokuqala. Nothola ngokho bekwi amnesty. Like umuntu registering amnesty uzobhalani ngalowo test week. Like expect ukuthi abhaleni. That is my first question. Always be lim. We understand varsity is a business. Okay, fine. And also a rendi service. But le party service, it needs to be a two-way process. But Laimangosu is a one-way process. Because we as students, we do pay to the institution, but the institution does not retain our services to us as they're supposed to retain them. I'll make just a simple issue. This is a university of technology, but when there is load shedding or when there is no electricity, we sit in the dark. What is technology? We have engineering here, mechanical, electrical, so and so. There could be backup generator in this whole institution or AMA solar panels, but there is no such, but you are in the University of Technology. Maybe if Nabanama development, just to show that we are in the University of Technology. Umamvisi ubeshi lukuthi, most of the income is generated through AMA residents. Okay, fine. We have residents inside like main campus, which they also generate income, but how about service rendered to those residents? About now we are approaching e-wins. But the conditions in those residents, they don't favor with the conditions. So, but we are in the University of Technology. It doesn't make sense. Secondly, we pay so much amount in this institution, but yet the service is not just well delivered. It doesn't make sense. And the Sengval, can please, in management, when making decisions, ikulume specifically nama HOD, mina, personally, as a semester student, I've witnessed that. Because you tend to find what the registration is extended, but classes are starting. You go to the class, the lecturer tells you what we are told to start teaching. So, please, if we would see the management is making or taking a decision, consider us as humans. Yes, we are students, but we are also human beings at the end of the day. So, Iloko Ebengicela, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Can you get the last one?
No, Prime Director. I would like to take this opportunity to recognize the president of the VC and the president of the executive management and also the MUT community. So I would like to request for an assistant. Oh, by the way, I'm coming from the SRC, the Olutum Sumi, the SRC faculty's office.
the first issue that we're facing is students. This is the financial exclusion. We find that some of students, they are defunded in the middle of the year and are left with the debt that they will not be able to cover. And that that issue arises when it's come during the registration period. And those students, they are left with no assistance. They lead to academical exclusion. We kindly request that the institution provide assistance regarding that matter. The second point is we are having an issue with the maintenance in this institution. You find that we don't have enough labs, we don't have enough classes. Even if we have classes and labs, but they are not well maintained. And that also affects students when it's time to do their practicals, when it's time to their lecturers, and also the teaching and learning. While the students are expected to perform well when it comes to their academics. And one of the issues that we're facing in residences, as the previous speaker has alluded, that we have an issue in main campus. You will find that some students use their bathing with cold water in this time, and then are expected to attend classes and to perform well. Moving forward, I heard that the institution has the financial issues, but we still have this risk that is there. Please remind me. That is called the executive. It has been there for years, but is not being renovated. How about we fix that dress? That maybe can have a positive impact in the income stream of the institution. Moving forward, we have the cafeteria that has been closed for years. We have workshop that has been closed for years, and it has not been reopened. And while the institution is facing financial crisis, how about we open that cafeteria? How about we open that bookshop that will assist students? Moving forward, as the SRC, we have the SRC Trust Fund, which used to assist students who are facing financial issues. But we get donations through Motsepe Foundation. Unfortunately, this year we're not able to get those funds or donations. So we were utilizing funds from the previous year, those funds were not enough to assist so many students. It assisted about 60, if not 50 students. So we kindly request the institution to assist us, in as much as the SRC were trying very hard to get donation to raise funds for the trust fund in order to assist students who are academically excluded due to financial exclusion. The other issue that we're facing is the issue of buses on weekends. You find that students are attending Monday to Friday with their lecturers. And then on weekends, whereby they need to do their group assignments, whereby they need to do their pracs, there's a shortage of passes or there's no passes at all. In as much as we tried to raise that issue and the resolution was that if there are any academic activities that will happen on weekends, the deans or the HOD need to write to the dean of students so that they can make provisions or make arrangements for passes. But the issue is, some students end up being left out, understanding the fact that we have clubs and society that are recognized by the institution. We have sport codes that are recognized by the institution that need to utilize those passes on weekends. Unfortunately, they end up being left out. And also, we have libraries that operate on weekends if there are no passes on weekends. So those staff that are working at the library will end up just being there but not doing anything because there are no students who are coming on campus. So that is the request that is coming from the side of the SRC, that you can kindly make maybe some sort of arrangement for us to have passes on weekends. I submit. Thank you.
That's the end of the first round. Now I will allow the VC and her executive team to answer the question.
Uh,
Thank you so much, MUT community family, for the questions. But maybe let me say it up front that the reason why I have some of my colleagues, not some, executive management in front, it's because I had requested them to assist me in responding to questions. And I will indicate the questions that they will assist me to respond to. The first one from, I didn't get the name very well, Mokaraba from EH. Pardon me if ever I do not pronounce your name very well. A third year student from environmental health. The question, after giving us a brief background about the organization and the club that he belongs to, the question was on, or the request. It's not a question per se. It was a request to have a budget for supporting clubs and organizations at MUT. Fortunately, yesterday we had a meeting as EMC. The EMC meeting was on Monday, but with selected EMC members yesterday, including the Dean of Students, we had a meeting to discuss the issue of buses, which has been raised by our SRC. Part of the discussion, we had to look at the budget that Student Affairs has. And we analyzed the budget that Student Affairs has. And I wish to give you comfort that there is a budget for supporting extracurricular activities. So what I would recommend is that you keep in touch with the Acting Dean of Students. And whilst I'm on that one, I need to indicate that it is so unfortunate that we started the year without the student development officer, Mpemba, who resigned, I think it was in January, I think. So who was instrumental in driving student development at MUT. I must indicate that the advert was immediately put out there, and the closing date has gone past. So all that we need to do now is to do the shortlisting. So that we have this warm body or this cadre that will assist the university in driving student development, including giving support to our organizations, clubs, societies, and sports. So I hope I have responded. That for now, in the absence of the SDO, please be in touch with the Acting Dean of Students, because I can assure you that a Student Affairs has that kind of a budget. Maybe once I'm on that one. 2 weeks ago, I had a session with the SRC. We went away out of campus, and my focus was on transformational leadership, because this is not the first time I'm engaging with the MUT community. Since students are our key partners, I felt the first session must be with the student leadership. And a part of the session that we had, it was to develop a plan for this year, a plan of action for this year. During my engagement with the SRC, I pleaded with them that we review the kind of activities that we have, student activities that we have here at MUT, and focus mainly on the activities that talk to our strategic plan, activities that would ensure that we groom our students for future. And my focus was that out of the students would like to get HODs. Some of us are not getting younger anymore. We would like to get lecturers, would like to get all sorts of leaders at different levels. So that is the challenge that I gave to the SRC, that they review the kind of activities where we spend a lot of money. And at the end, we get problems. You know, out of excitement, students do some of the activities that are unspeakable. So that is the challenge that I gave to the SRC. Of course, we do support societies, clubs, sports, and what have you. And then the second question was from Mr. Tim Kulu, one of the acting HODs. He raised quite a number of two, although he forgot the third one. The first one was a plea to management to say, whatever decision we make, we need to consider that we do not compromise workers. We do not compromise staff at MUT. We have noted that. That's the reason why immediately when a challenge was brought to our attention, we convened a special meeting to address the issue that they raised of staff members who were appointed before a certain period, who in their letters of appointment, there was a clause of a benefit, but that benefit which fell off when the policy was revised whilst we're under administration. So in fairness, as EMC, we had a special meeting late in the afternoon, after it was at 5 o'clock. We had a discussion on that issue, and that issue has been resolved. So it is a sign that we do have a listening ear. But again, we acknowledge where errors have been made. And maybe Mr. Tim Kulu, colleagues, students, I need to indicate, I had shared this before, that my plan is not to be reactive. My plan is to have a forum where I will engage with labor. I have shared this with the chairperson of labor, of the unions, that my vision is to establish what I refer to as Labor Management Consultative Forum, abbreviated as LMFC. But I'm still currently working on the guiding document, the terms of reference of this consultative forum. Please note a consultative forum where we'll sit and engage and consult with labor so that we do not find ourselves being reactive most of the time. So my plan is to ensure that this LMFC, it's up and running before the end of Q3. The most unfortunate part again is that I do not want to raise excuses, but this one I have to mention, that the most unfortunate part is that I do not have support in my office. There is no senior director in the office of the vice chancellor since I got appointed as the acting VC in May up until now, as I'm speaking with you. So some of the projects that I have at the back of my mind, I have to drive them. If ever I had the senior director in the office of the VC, that would be the person that I would delegate to assist me with such projects. But I do not intend to use that as an excuse, because so far I am running with these projects, although not at the pace that I would love to if ever I had the support. So, Mr. Tim Kulu, I want to assure you that this is work in progress, the LMFC or the Labor Management Consultative Forum. And then the second one, the HR, that is not doing very well. As a result, up until now, negotiations for salary increase have not yet been finalized. Not that it hasn't started. It did start. But I will ask Mr. Brijlal, that's the reason why I have my colleagues here, to respond to that one. But maybe what I could indicate on my side is that, you know, colleagues, of the latest developments, you start with an executive whilst you are working on whatever project, and then for whatever reasons, the executive in charge of R&P is currently not available. So when there is a new person, right, there must be a period of handover. Handover that doesn't happen, of course. There must be a period where you give the person a little bit of time to find his or her fit on the ground. So at times, some of these activities or projects, they do not move at the speed that they are supposed to. Yes, we do acknowledge that the consultation around salaries should be over by now. But I'm just highlighting one challenge that has made us not to have finalized the consultation or the engagement with labor by now. But Mr. Brijlal, you will talk to this one. And then Nomkhosi from sports department also raised quite a number of questions. The main one being the shortage of staff. Again, it points to the HR. Mr. Brijlal, I would want you to share the plans that you have, that HR has, the HR plan for filling up of the vacancies. But maybe as the accounting officer, colleagues, in my speech, I did indicate that one of the reasons why our academic project is compromised, it's because of the vacancies that we have. But the main one, it's the leadership vacancies, where DHET says, we are not going to look at your, we're not going to consider your submissions for offering new programs when you have acting deans, when you have the acting DVC, when you have acting HODs. Fix your house first and then give us the indication. So I'm just piggybacking on what Unomkhosi said about the concerns regarding vacancies. Maybe whilst I'm on that one from my side, colleagues, I need to indicate this, that the major challenge, again, I will raise this when we talk about the issue that was raised by the SRC around dilapidated infrastructure facilities. The major challenge here at MUT is that the huge amount of our budget, it goes towards salaries. Colleagues, staff, students, let me indicate that there are DHET norms, which specifies that out of the total budget, only they give us a range between 55 to 62%. 55 or 58? 58 to 62. 58 to 62% must go towards salaries. Currently, at MUT, maybe let me not say currently, as at end of 2024, our budget was sitting at 72%. So which means we were left with only 28%. To address that, we started the process of reviewing our structure, which is very heavy, where you have a senior director. Below the senior director, there is a director. There are 2-3 directors. Below those 3 directors, there are deputy directors. Below those deputy directors, there are managers. Then you ask, but it's a reality, colleagues. That's the reason why we do not have money to fix the broken tables. Last week, I joined the delegation that walked to look at the beautiful work that has been done by TLDC of improving our infrastructure for teaching and learning. It was shocking to get to some of the classes where you are not sure if ever there is a parent here. If ever the parent would leave his or her child behind. So I'm just highlighting that, yes, whilst we have vacancies, again, we are not moving at the speed that you should move at in filling those vacancies, mainly because there is a moratorium in filling some of the positions until we have finalized our new structure. Because we cannot keep filling all the positions, because it would give us a challenge when we implement the new structure, because some of the positions will have to collapse them. Some of them we do away with, some of them we cut. But I believe the new structure has gone out of EMC, because we have engaged with the new structure. And then at the last meeting that we held on the, can't remember the date, a few weeks ago, we made a resolution of releasing the new draft for consultation. So you will also have the opportunity of engaging with the new structure. So that's one reason why we have not filled some of the positions, because there is a moratorium. In terms of support staff, a concern was raised that there is no plan for career pathing of support staff. She indicated that seemingly the main focus is on academic staff. When I joined MUT September 2022, the policy that I prioritized, that I did within 2 months of my existence at MUT, it was the sabbatical leave policy. But of course, it had to go through the structures for consultation and approval, finally, by the administrator, of course, which did happen. And I did consider the request from the support staff, who indicated that we also need a policy that will support the progression of the support staff. That was noted. But again, I need to indicate, colleagues, that we have skills development funding at MUT, which resides with HR. So please grab the opportunity. Remember, we all contribute a percentage towards skills development. So it's not for certain individuals. It's for all of us. So you have to identify opportunities, submit your application so as to access that funding. Because you contribute, all of us, we contribute a percentage towards skills development funding. I know it's managed by Mrs. Batabi Lewela. And then the issue of the students with disability, not only students, staff and students with disability. I did indicate that it was a concern for me. I was still the DVC then, that there was no a disability unit, which is common, which is found in other universities. So I did discuss this with the Dean of Students, and she did indicate that would receive the priority. So I must indicate that that is being considered by the university, especially because, you know, our structures are made in such a way that in some, there are no lifts. Staff and students have to go up the stairs. And then what happens if we have, I've noted in some of the graduation ceremonies where I see students, with disabilities graduating. So we need a unit. Again, the issue about the facilities for staff, for sports. We are so fortunate at MUT. I did share it with, when I visited a director, Waga Sports, I think it was last year. I did indicate to him that we are so fortunate at MUT that our chancellor is a sports person and own, the owner of the, one of the national clubs, soccer club, AmaZulu. And he has said it not once, not twice, that he is willing to support financially and otherwise a sport at MUT. So all that we need to do is to make submission. I did discuss this with the director of sports that he has made. He's, again, I did discuss it with SRC when we met, when we had engagements 2 weeks ago. So all that we need to do is to make a submission to our chancellor. He's more than willing. I even shared with the SRC that he did indicate that when there is a soccer match for AmaZulu, he's willing to give us, to fund, give us VIP tickets for the SRC if they're willing to attend. Because that's the way of encouraging or of motivating active participation of students in sports. Coming to the gentleman, I did not get the name, who was talking about the challenges that semester students experience. Let me not talk to that one. I'll leave that to Prof. Ramogale to address. Prof. Ramogale, the DVC teaching and learning. Maybe what I could highlight again, maybe again, I will ask the interim DVC resource and planning to talk about, to provide a progress report on how we are dealing with issues of water and load shedding at MUT. Because I have been signing motivation. I have been approving funding to improve the challenges or to address the challenges that we have. So Dr. Njangase would give an update on that one. The SRC, the issue of financial exclusion, where students are defunded. CFO, if you could address that one, because financial aid falls under you. If you could talk briefly about that one. So Dr. Njangase, you will combine it with the cafeteria and bookshop that has not been operational for years. What are the plans of addressing that? And I want to touch on the FRC trust fund, where the SRC indicated that MUT did not get funding from Motsepe. I can confirm that we did. Where is the Dean of Students? I saw her standing at the back. I want to indicate that we did get, although it came a bit late, so we did get funding from Motsepe, just like we did last year. I'm sure Dean of Students will apprise you on that one. But besides that, besides Motsepe funding, we are benefiting in terms of receiving bursaries and SITA. Yesterday, she's gone. She has an engagement elsewhere. Our executive director, institutional advancement, through our WhatsApp group for executive management, she did share with us some exciting news that we have received funding from SITA. So we are getting funds. Yesterday, I signed the MOU from USAF, University of South Africa, where they are committing to give us, where they are committing to giving us huge amount of money for supporting our students. And I signed, after signing, I gave it to my PA to share it with the financial aid for signing as witnesses. And we have been given the deadline of tomorrow of submitting the signed copy. So we do not only rely on Motsepe. We do work around the clock to get additional funding where we could in terms of sitters and bursaries. And then buses on weekends. Again, I did indicate that, was it yesterday when we had a meeting? I've lost track. Yesterday or a day before yesterday, where we spent almost 2.5 hours to 3 hours discussing the very same issue. Not only the buses on weekend, but we're discussing the number of buses that we have at MUT. And part of the discussion, it revolved around discussing the availability of buses on weekends. And the Deputy Vice Chancellor Teaching and Learning was given a task of engaging with the deans. And she did give us comfort yesterday when she reported that she has developed a template that she has shared with the deans so as to identify the needs. But SRC, I want to say, given the fact that I have indicated that we have financial constraints, so we need to look at measures that we'll put in place to mitigate this challenge. One of them, it is to consider and analyze the number of buses that we have based on the number of students that we have. And the plan is, once we have completed the process, the plan is to engage with the service provider so that we have the right number of buses that we need. Because currently, if I may share with you, last year we exceeded the approved budget for transport, for student transport. By how many millions? By 10 million. The CFO is confirming last year. We exceeded the budget by 10 million because of the number of, huge number of buses that we have. So we are currently doing our analysis so as to identify if ever we do require, because currently the schedule is such that I need to share this with you. The schedule that was shared by the Dean of Students is shocking. Where from one residence, we have 35 buses. Buses running on hourly rate. Is it hourly rate? On hourly basis. Where residence A, we have a bus at 7 o'clock coming to MUT. At 8 o'clock, there's a bus from the same residence coming to MUT. At 9 o'clock, there's a bus coming from residence A to MUT. At 10 o'clock, there's a bus coming from the very same residence to MUT. At 11 o'clock, there's a bus coming from the same residence to MUT. Then the first bus going back to the very same residence is at 12 o'clock. There's another one at 1 o'clock. There's another one at 2 o'clock. Taking students back to the residence. Umdlalo. Right now, you have indicated that you want buses on Saturday because you want to come to the library. Why are you not utilizing the time during the weekdays where we have a bus? I'm just making an example. A bus in the morning, because that's the practice at other universities. We have a bus in the morning, a bus at 2 o'clock, a bus at 4 o'clock, and the bus in the evening at 10 o'clock. Taking the student to the residences. Now we want extra buses on Saturday, but we have more frequent buses frequenting between residences and the university on hourly basis, which means it's hopping in, hopping out, hopping in, hopping out. Because I'm a bus maning. So we are busy analyzing that so that we do not end up with overspending by 10 million. Because that's exactly what happened last year. We overspent by 10 million. Where is this 10 million coming from? So it will be a shame again, if ever. Maybe before I sit, I need to indicate that last year, we were convened to parliament. We were led by our administrator. And it was said, Professor Sibiya, we know you are new, but next time you will not be new. We know there is corruption at Mangosuthu. I'm going to say it as is. I'm quoting the chair, verbatim. There is corruption at Mangosuthu when it comes to transport and housing. And next time we call you here, we want you to tell us how you've dealt with that. Right? So that's the reason we've started with the process of analyzing not only transport, analyzing even the housing that we have. Transport, the number of buses that we have, if really we do need the number of buses that we have. Really, it compromises teaching and learning. Right now, we've been talking about compromising teaching and learning, but our processes are contributing towards compromising teaching and learning when we have so many buses. 35 buses from one residence per day. Another resident, 35 buses one day. Another resident, 35 buses per day. So when you add, I can't remember even the total number of buses per day, but it was shocking. Thank you. I will call, who's going to come first? I will call Mr. Brijlal to address the HR issues, followed by CFO, and then this side, it will be Dr. Njangase first, and then lastly, Prof. Ramogale. Thank you.
Thank you, Prof. All right, can we have your attention? Thank you very much. I'm going to start off with Mr. Luazi's issues. Mr. Luazi, Tim Kulu, yes, we've noted your concerns. Yes, we've delayed with our salary negotiations, and as the VC has indicated, things have happened, leadership has changed, and that has delayed us. And of course, there were a couple of other issues that also delayed us. But I have asked my office to set dates as soon as possible with all the parties so that we can get the negotiations going and finalize that as soon as possible. And of course, the VC has already indicated that the issue that was raised regarding the accommodation that has been sorted out, and we will process those payments. Coming to Ms. Nomkosi, your issue about staffing shortages, VC has already addressed some of the issues. Now, if I understand you correctly, if you're talking of staffing shortages and not vacancies, those are two different issues. If it's vacancies that are not filled timeously, then we will have to look into that. Remember, we're still running a manual system of recruitment, so we would deal with a lot of paperwork, and that delays our processes. And sometimes, you know, you need to also understand that we go through processes, recruitment processes, right to the end. You make an appointment, and then you have problems where candidates decline offers. I mean, a senior position candidate took about 2 months or so and then declines the position. And then we're back to square one, to recruit for that position. So those are some of our challenges. But if you're talking about staffing shortages, then we need to understand that the organogram is being revised right now. It is going to be released for consultation with the unions and other stakeholders. It's going to go to faculty board. We need to understand the intention of revising the organizational structure for MUT. VC has already indicated that the personnel costs are in the region of about 72%, and we need to bring that within the DHEAD norms of 58 to 62%. So the organizational structure does not mean that we are going to add positions. So if you're talking of staff shortages, It does not mean that it's an opportunity for us now to increase staff. We want to bring costs down. We want to cut down on staff. We've done our benchmarking. The entire exercise entailed us to do a benchmarking exercise to look at what the size of our university versus other universities, what an ideal structure should be for MUT, what structure is fit for purpose for MUT in line with our budget, in line with our income, etc. So that structure is going to be released very, very soon. So I don't want to raise your hopes and say that, yes, your staff shortages are going to be addressed. No, it's not. We need to look at how we're going to work within the budget that we have and what is fit for purpose for MUT. But if it's vacancies that are not filled, then we will look into that and expedite the filling of those vacancies. With regards to the progression for support staff, yeah, you're quite correct. It's easy for the academic side. We have a policy, and academics do get promoted through the what we had was the ad hominem promotions policy. Now it's called the academic promotions policy. We have done some research already on a policy for support staff, a promotion policy for support staff. And we've done some benchmarking, some research with the other institutions, and it turns out that none of the institutions have a policy, a promotion policy for support staff. So we will develop, we are in the process of looking at developing something that's going to work for us, and we're trying to put our head around that as to how exactly it's going to work. I think sometimes the support staff think that it's going to be the same as what's applicable to the academics. I don't think so. It's going to be the same. It's slightly different. It's slightly more complicated. However, you know, the VC's already said that there is, support, financial support for you to study. And also the vacancies are open, are advertised in the open market. So that is one way of promoting our people as well. I think I've addressed that. And of course the issue around the infrastructure, like the VC has said, it's not only applicable to students, the infrastructure being, not friendly to disabled students. It's also applies to, employees. And of course we also, have, included that as part of the barriers in the employment equity plan. And of course that we'll have to look at holistically. Some of those, the infrastructure challenges may not be resolved overnight. Of course we need resources, financial resources to resolve some of them. Some of them may be long-term, plans that we will have to deal with. So colleagues, I think those were the few queries that I've had to deal with. Thank you very much.
It's not working. Just a follow-up on two things. I just wanted to get your understanding, Mr. Prishla. I want to gather your thoughts or your philosophy in terms of the CPIX. According to you, is CPIX an increment?
Sorry, you're asking if CPIX is increment?
Yes, according to you.
I don't want to comment on that. I think let's leave that for the bargaining process.
Okay.
And let's talk about it that forum. I don't think this is the right forum for me to make that comment.
No, you're not.
But that is one of the factors that one would use in the negotiations.
Mr. Prishlal, I think you need to be clear. When you engage, you must engage us in good faith. Right? So, in anything that you would offer to staff, it must not be below CPIX because that is buying power. It's buying power, it's not a favor. We don't negotiate CPIX. If it's standing at 5, then the negotiations, the they start kicking it from 5, which will be the current CPI. You are not protected here. 2, why are you dividing staff? Why are you having academic policy for, why don't you have a promotions policy for university? Why are you dividing staff, academics, this, that, and the other? Because if you have sexual harassment policy, it's sexual harassment across the board.
All right, colleagues, I think it's not so simple. I mean, it's going to be difficult for us to have a single policy to deal with both academics and admin. It's not going to happen that way for now. Let's be honest. I mean, it's difficult to have one single policy. So let's have a separate policy for the support, and then we see how it works. And perhaps we can look forward in the future as to how we do that. But I can guarantee you none of the universities have a single policy. I don't know. Perhaps maybe somebody else will be able to assist me, but I don't think so anyone has a single policy for all promotions in the institution. So I'll end that there. Regarding the CPIX colleagues, I think we will deal with that in the bargaining forum. I do not want to commit myself to anything. There's various factors that we have to take into account when we negotiate salaries, CPIX, the budget availability, income, etc. And we will have to deal with that in the bargaining forum. Thank you very much. But I've noted your comments, Mr. Mtimkulu.
Thank you. Colleagues, may I kindly request so that we do this in a seamless manner. Let's allow the executives that I've asked to respond first, and then if ever there are any further questions, we'll take them in the second round. But maybe whilst I'm on the podium, as the former DVC teaching and learning, I can confirm there is no university that has a policy for the promotion of the support staff. As I'm talking, because before I left wherever I was, I benchmarked with different universities when we're in the process of reviewing the policy. So as Mr. Bridgeland has indicated, we are looking at developing something that will support, I mean, that will ensure that there is career pathing of our support staff. But I just wanted to confirm that. So let's allow other executives, as I had invited them, to respond to the question so that we do not lose track. Thank you.
Thank you for that, VC. Let's allow the executive to respond, then we'll take another round of questions. Over to your CFO.
Good day, everyone. Good day, VC. I'm specifically tasked to deal with the question on the financial assistance and the challenges faced by students who are not eligible to register due to financial challenges. I think at the outset, before I can comment on what's available for a student, it's important to note that the lifeblood of MUT or any organization in the case of education environment is the student registration process, followed by invoicing the student, and then lastly, the fee collection. If fee collection does not happen, it results in the university to become bankrupt. On the backdrop of that, let me respond to the financial assistance and the financial aid policy that's available to students. MUT is a public university, so a student at the very first instance can qualify to become part of a NSFAS funder, meaning NSFAS will fund the student in terms of specific criteria that need to be met when the student completed the finishes metric examination. There's a window period that opens around November, late November, December, and that process is then undertaken by NSFAS. And by end of January, NSFAS will then formalize that process and inform the university in terms of the successful applicants. It is incumbent upon the matriculant to make sure that he follows the NASFAS process very strictly, apply on the portal, submit the relevant information, and ensuring that all the relevant documentation is submitted for the timeous process of NASFAS funding. During the course of this week, I had an opportunity to review some of the fundings that NASFAS has provided MUT. And during my observation of that schedule, I noticed that NASFAS made a payment up till and including last week, Friday, to a particular student. And upon interrogation with the finance officers department headed by Mr. Kubono, the responses that came from his team was that the student made the submissions late, or the student did not complete the application process conclusively. That resulted the payment being processed late. So, unfortunately, MUT does not provide direct financial assistance in the form of bursaries. It relies heavily on donor funding, as we're now calling it as our third stream of income. And students who do not meet the NASFAS criteria, do not participate in the NASFAS program, will then be, then an avenue then exists in terms of the participation by a third stream of income, which is mainly donor funding. But the donor funding / bursaries, sponsorships can take various forms, meaning that we'll have, for example, a private institution or a blue chip company like Toyota, for example, will then say we will award X amount to MUT for the benefit of its students or deserving students to qualify or study towards a specific qualification. We will receive a formal letter, and prospective students will then be informed to say there is funding available. Or alternatively, we'll receive a letter from these companies stating that they are funding X amount of students to the value of Y amount. That information will be transmitted to the university, and then the financial officers department will undertake that process and inform the students. I think the concern here is what happens if a student do not form part of any of those processes or categories of students. Unfortunately, the NASFAS allows for financially distressed students. The current threshold up to last year was a total household disposable income of 350,000 rands or less. Then students will be eligible to participate in that process. If the household income is greater than that amount, then the student will have to fund their tertiary education via themselves or in the personal capacity. Unfortunately, we cannot register students who do not prove any form of funding to the university, as I outlined. And we had scenarios earlier this year where I was involved in the process of providing for and writing up the concession document applicable for the 2025 year. And in that process, we considered the plight of the students. We had a memorandum that was served and ultimately came to my office for review, comments, and dealing with the query. And MUT was kind enough to offer concessions to students, and this is applicable to students who were registered in the prior year and had outstanding balances and wanted to study again in this year. So there were another alternative scheme of financial assistance by the way of concessions that was applicable to those students. And most students then participated in that process. And obviously we have administrative processes to be followed via an acknowledgement of debt letter, etc., which I'm not going to address in this conversation. But more importantly, the concessions to students is also an opportunity for students who cannot successfully register within our period. I think that's where I will end, and thank you for allowing me to respond to that query.
Sanbonani. Njani. Good morning, VC and the executives that is here. Staff members, colleagues. Mine is very simple and straightforward. We are having an issue at MUT, I think we're all aware, of water supply. And EMC resolved that we need to have boreholes, I think 3 years ago. And the process was very slow. But what we've decided to do is to prioritize the issue of borehole since I took this office. And the way we are going to do it is to ensure that, because to build that a big water tank or bulk water tank is going to take time for us, we are going to shorten the whole issue by getting JoJo's and thereafter have water that can be supplied to areas where they are needed most while we're building the bigger part of the reserve or that tank, so that we are able to do what we have to do. And number two, we also prioritize the issue of aircons. I fully understand, because I joined MUT as a HOD and I used to have some module to teach. I know when you go to a venue in summer where there's no aircon, it's very unpleasant. Over and above that is the issue of knowing very well that we have some offices where you find that there are no windows. It's just like a pigeonhole. If there are no windows, if there's no aircon as well, it's unbearable for academics or for staff members to be in that space. We are also prioritizing that issue of aircons at MUT. And we have identified what are the challenges. As we speak, we are trying to move away from the aircon that is using water. We are moving towards air, because we do have air and we don't buy it. That's good enough about it. Water is being supplied by municipality. Sometimes they restrict us with water. Sometimes if there is no water, there will be no aircon. So we're trying to convert from water to air so that we'll be able to supply those areas. And we picked up that in the admin building, the previous constructor that was here ended up taking a particular very important piece. That is why we don't have aircon in the main building. So we've managed to procure that part. It's going to be installed very soon so that we'll be able to deal with issues of aircon. And coming to issues of maintenance is another area that is concerning us as a team. We have prioritized as well the issue of maintenance in the residences, in lecture theaters, as it was raised, that sometimes labs are not attended to. We are working on that to make sure that all those areas are attended to. The issue of cold water in one of the residents, yes, we are aware. We are working on it so that we make sure that everyone who's a student at MUT receives warm water so that he can be able to bath normally. Not this thing that you have venues that are not conducive for winter and all those things. It's a lot of work that needs to be done, but I'm proud of my team that we're working with, because there is commitment, and I believe that if there's commitment, there will be change. I fully understand also about the issue of residents that was highlighted, like the executive hotel. We are in the process of sorting that resident out so that it can be able to accommodate students soon. Because remember, if you have a place like that and is not accommodating student, the money that's supposed to come to MUT is going to the landlord outside. Then it's a loss for MUT. That is number one. Number two, the A block as well. We did that walkabout and we realized that A block also needs attention. We're in a process of removing all those things that are there in A block, so that the process of refurbishing that place is taking place as soon as possible, so that we are able to move forward. What I can say, we are doing our best in this angle to respond to so many challenges that have been there for years, because it's not something that is new. There is that backlog that we are dealing with, but I fully and strongly believe that we'll sort it out. Coming to the issue of energy, We already started installing generators, and the advert, or maybe the bid, was issued last year, but there were no respondents where we wanted people to give us more generators so that we know what is going on, so that we'll be able to supply generators, so that when we have classes, we'll be able to continue even if there is no power from the ESCOM side or municipal side. But we are having those delays, but the plan is already on place to make sure that we do have energy supply, whether through municipality or we are self-sufficient by making sure that our generators are able to take care of our venues and admin buildings where we can be able to run business with or without municipality. That's where we are, colleagues, and please bear with us, because it's not something that you can wake up in the morning and have it. I have to be honest with you. I fully understand. And yesterday I received a WhatsApp message from one of the deans or HODs from Management Sciences that one lecturer decided to stop a class because the student was about to collapse in one of the venues. That is because of aircons. But we're in a process of dealing with those matters. And give us a chance. We'll do our best. And I promise we'll do what we have to do. And to improve MUT, because I fully understand, I know it. I used to be sitting in that office where there's no aircon. It's frustrating, but we'll do our best moving forward. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you, Lisa.
Sanbonani. Molweni. Dumelang. Lochani. Abusheni. Dimachelo. It's good to see you, colleagues. Really good to see you. You are not dreaming. Program Director, before I respond to the questions which are related to teaching and learning, through your permission and the permission of the Vice Chancellor, I want to preface my responses by making just a few remarks. Because this is a day of conversation, not so. First, I want to talk about the responsibility for development. Who is responsible for development? Whether it be institutional development or even national development. Quite often we think it is somebody else's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. I'm sure you hear in this country people complain. And they say they are not developing this country. Now the question is, who are those people? And when it comes to MUT, whose responsibility is it to develop the institution? Is it management's responsibility or is it our responsibility? It is our responsibility. I recently shared with members of Senate the contents of a book by one of the famous African writers, Chinua Achebe, who is now late, a world-famous writer. In the 80s, he published a book entitled The Trouble with Nigeria. Chinacheva was Nigerian, the author of Things Fall Apart. I'm sure many of you will know that novel. And he analyzes his own country to say, what are the problems of Nigeria? And he says, the problem is not the food we eat, it's not the air we breathe, it's not the water we drink. It ultimately comes to commitment. And he says, you know, I go around attending conferences all over the world. I go to these big cities where everything is so well organized. And I'm tempted to stay, not to go back to my country. But what keeps me going back to Nigeria is the knowledge that the order that I see in these great cities, it is the product of someone's genius. Someone's genius. And he said in the book, I therefore feel I have a responsibility to go back and make my contribution in my own country and not want to benefit from the hard work and genius of other people. So the message in that book is that development is all our responsibility. So even at MUT, when we talk about the development of this institution, it is our collective responsibility. The second remark that I want to share, which I think is also important, you know, it is important for you colleagues to know that as management under the leadership of Professor Sibiya, we are united. And I want to say this, I'm taking this opportunity because she has taken the baton from me. When last year I decided not to apply when the position was re-advertised, I said to her, Knox, I urge you to apply. I think this university will be in safe hands if you apply. And I'm happy she did. And with the few years that I have before I retire, some of us are looking at pension in the face. I am committed, and this is what I told her recently, I'm committed to supporting her to make sure that her administration succeeds. And I want to appeal to you too, to help her succeed. Her success will be our success. This university should not be known for instability. We should put this bad history behind us. Let us be known for stability, for academic excellence. And you can take comfort from the knowledge that as management, we are one, we are united. And all the troublemakers, if you thought you can come somewhere between us, you should know you cannot succeed. So that is important, colleagues, for stability, to know that your leadership is united. Now, let me come to the questions that were asked. And I'll only cover those program director that have to do with the teaching and learning program of the university. The issue of transportation for students on weekends, especially on Saturday, the VC touched on that briefly. We have already addressed that. I have asked the faculty deans to provide me with information about the classes that take place on Saturdays so that we can know the exact number of students who have to come to the university so that the right number of buses can be provided. And we've said in management the other day that we'll also make some extra buses available, because if you find that 500 students are attending classes, you cannot just make buses available for 500. You need to give a little bit extra for those students who want to go to the library and so on. So that a particular issue, SRC, is under control. The VC has already addressed the issue of academic promotion. She's right. And even the senior director, human resources. Academic promotion, colleagues, has unique criteria. So you can't club that criteria with the criteria for promoting administrative staff. Otherwise, you're going to create a lot of problems. So that is why you need to have two policies. The challenge for us is then, Mr. Bridgelal, is to develop a new policy for the promotion of our administrative staff. Lastly, I want to talk about a matter which has become very urgent for MUT. I came back and the first thing I learned was that the CHE has placed a moratorium on program development because there are certain issues that they want the university to clear first. When I arrived here in 2009, there was a moratorium. Professor Msumi, I'm sure you remember that. We couldn't introduce new programs because the CHE felt certain things needed to be in place. We dealt with those issues, and having dealt with those issues, we went back to them and said, we are now ready. They checked, and they said, okay. And that is how we started introducing new programs. Now they have imposed another moratorium. So our responsibility now is to study what their concerns are and make sure that those issues are addressed. And we will address those issues, and I want to appeal to all of you to make your contribution, because some of the issues are cross-cutting. So we'll have to, I am going to work on a project plan to get those issues addressed. Because if we can't introduce postgraduate programs, we are going to have problems, you know, retaining professors. Because they will say, MUT, you don't have postgraduate students. There is no point in us staying here. So this is something, colleagues, that we should take as an important project for 2025, and I'm going to rely on you for assistance. Those are the issues, Program Director and Visa. I'm not sure if there are any other questions that I may have omitted. Colleagues, I'm glad to see you, and let's work together and make sure that the new administration become successful. That doesn't mean you shouldn't raise issues. Raise issues as part of a family, as part of a united community. And don't make the mistake of thinking that problems are only at MUT. You go to every university, there are problems. It always looks like it's green over there, right? Until you get there. There are problems everywhere. The reason why you never hear about the problems of certain universities, it is because they keep things under wraps. They don't wash their dirty linen in the public. They keep things under wraps, and you think things are perfect. There is no perfect university. Every university is work in progress. So let us identify problems, bring them to attention of the leadership, and collectively we deal with those problems. And if we do that, we'll become a respectable institution. Thank you very much, colleagues.
Thank you very much, Prof, for those wise words. Some of us, we stand on the shoulders of giants like yourself. Thanks for those wise words. MUT community, who are left with 30 minutes now, we can take the second and the last round of hands. There is a hand there. Three hands, one of the other. Where is the mic?
I've noted three hands.
Starting with who, sister behind? Oh, okay. Okay, you can come in then.
Hello?
Yes.
I would like to take the point on the support staff promotions policy. It is true. We were investigating that. It is true all the universities do not have that policies, but there are processes that are working on, which I also introduced that we should be also be looking at that. Visi, there was a meeting where I don't know who appointed Mr. Langanzuza, who was dealing with our policies at the HR. In that meeting, I've discussed this same point regarding the same policy. This was my response at that time, which is still functional today, but with note. One, that at that time, UKZN was doing a process similar to that, because at UKZN, they have a problem in appointing committee officers. If they are appointed committee officers, they have lower grades than all other universities. So there was a system that they were system with umasipala weTheku. Same thing was being done by DUT, because they wanted to do sort of a similar policy at DUT. And they were also looking at what umasipala weTheku is doing. Doing a system called progression grades. I've talked about it at that meeting at that time with HR, and I even said the secretariat, which is the unit that I work under, have started something similar, because they also would like to introduce that in the office as part of creating progressing grades and having people in the right places at the right time. It was ignored. Yes, we can still do it. There are ways of doing it, and it leads to creating progressive grades and progressive systems that looks at promoting staff in those departments. Etchebeni Municipality is doing it. Universities in KZN are coping that style. Why aren't we looking into that forward? That's my question.
Program director, the VC, and the executive, all protocol observed. My name is Nomusa Mkwanazi. I have a concern regarding communication in this university. Some time ago, there was an exercise that was championed by HR to look at the structure. That process went on, and we were asked to create job descriptions, because some of us didn't have job descriptions. And the process went on and on. The job descriptions were evaluated and were given grades. And the time to allocate the grades came. The concern is that whilst we had a scientific tool to give the grades, line managers had the authority to decide that if it's term course, although the job grade came to be a 5, but no, he will get a 6. The process continued. The structure was approved. We were informed of the approved structure, and then the structure disappeared into the city. Nobody has ever communicated about that structure. What happened to it? Now I hear there's a new structure. There will be consultation. I'm hopeful that we will be consulted. And when those positions are, or the structure is reconfigured, I would just also ask that it must be noted that departments are unique. If the university have an allocation of 500 positions and I require an additional position in my unit, I cannot be penalized because the university already has 500 positions when I have a unique and key position in my unit. So the communication and common politeness and is lacking in the institution. That is my concern. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Next one. Third one. Yeah.
No, thank you very much, Program Director, and extending greetings to the Vice Chancellor and Principal and all protocol observed. I'm raising on a issue of accommodation. If you can recall, you can remember, Vice Chancellor, last week, if I'm not mistaken, the SRC released an update that the allocation system is now closed. Bear in mind, there is a numerous number of students who have NSFAS, who are NSFAS funded, by the way, but they do not have accommodation. And those students are currently subjected to go and look for accommodation outside campus. I want to assure you, VC, that those students are suffering. And I'm one of those students who have NSFAS, but I'm not accommodated. So there's another issue, VC, regarding to accommodation. We went to the resident warden officers to look for accommodation in time, by the way, but we didn't get accommodation. There is a resident inside a campus which is Nkandla resident. Yes, there is a building there inside. It is not fully accommodated, Vice Chancellor, and there is also a floor at resident D. Floor 4 or floor 5, if I'm not mistaken. It is not fully accommodated, Comrade VC, but as students, no. VC, Bengcela, as we are guided by the principle, which, by the way, is aligned with the constitution of this institution, those principles are aligned with the interest of the student populace. So as the student populace, we plea with you, VC, to please allow the allocation system to open maybe for 1 or 2 days for us to get accommodation, especially for those who have who are NSFAS funded to get accommodation. Thank you very much.
You. Let's move to the president.
Thank you very much. Okulmayo, Nganye Sumhlengo Angubo, the current president of the SRC. I stand with a response to a statement that was made by the Vice Chancellor that the SRC did receive some funding from the Petrus Motsepe Foundation. Sorry, VC, we didn't receive any funding, but we only received the confirmation from the foundation that they will be assisting us or they will be meeting with us. And there is a meeting that is held as we speak right now online. Firstly, I'd like to indicate that as students, as student leaders, one of our concerns is with, because as you're in this institution, you point fingers, you say this and that, but as you get closer to problems, we've realized that, in this institution, there is a problem with HR. You'll find out that, with HR, in this institution, from the EMC going to the HODs, everyone is acting. And one thing I've noticed about the position that have been held by people who are acting, I'm not saying that they are scared of taking decisions, but there are decisions that they do not take that maybe they like to firstly consult with the VC or with the EMC. And with us as student leaders, this is a problem. And then in my second point, I'd like to highlight this. I wish maybe I had a projector. It's, you see, it's a concern that maybe even from the financial side of the institution, it was indicated that last year we ended up spending plus minus 10 million rands, if I'm not mistaken, in transportation. And then we always... But there were concerns with the amount of money that is paid to external block H4. We also have executive hotels. If you take those numbers, all those students that are supposed to be residing there are now residing in external residences. Right now, as we speak, we have a residence that accommodates 1,500 students. You can't tell me that there's a landlord that's receiving all that money from the institution. Mind you, we end up being subjected to allocating those students in residences that are in a location that is not conducive for students because we are in need of accommodation. And at that time, we lack maintaining our own buildings and making sure that they carry on servicing the students and servicing the institution itself. So, also, Mr. Chakanet, I'd like to know, is it good for a student to reach a point whereby I don't have funding? So, right now, I owe the institution. I go out, I look for a bursary. I get the bursary. When I come back with the bursary, because the reason why I went to look for a bursary is because I don't have funding and I owe the institution. When I come back with that bursary, I'm told that I must firstly pay my previous debt. So I'm here with a bursary that I went out to look for due to the fact that I didn't afford my previous debt. So right now, the very same bursary that I'm coming back with, I'm told that I must firstly pay. So please, VC, please intervene on that as well. We did address that. We did get responses, they were never considered for qualification for them to teach students. And then as the SRC, we'd like to thank you for that effort. And also, we'd like to we do not want
behind the president, the gentleman with the...
My hand was up a long time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you also. No, thank you, program director. I think esitsheliwe njengamanje la ukuthi sonixosha nini ukusho nje la kuwe bazonixosha nini ikwi-plan yakhe leyo nto already shuthi kufanele abantu bayenuka amakhwaphakhe kusanabantu engisafisa ukubaletha kuyena as we speak prof nabahlele kuduze kwami Bano 6 years be act. Kababu funu ba convert. Sebe shisi, gini fanele ba enzi, fa ba shisi mbepo, fanele kwenza kalenja. Ngoba, asikwazi ukuthi sibe nama double standards in one institution. Ile onto leyo prof, eyenza ukuthi njalo ubone ngazi ukuthi lela office silfaka umlilo. Hayi abantu, asinandaba nabo. But i-office namandla e-office, abantu balisebenzisa mekuthanda bona for abangani babo.
Thank you.
Sanbonani. Ngibingelele uVC, executive management, bafundi and staff. I have a few questions here, VC. I just want to get what is your take on these things. Firstly is about financial policy and the role of the CFO on campus. My understanding is that EMUT is a government institution in South Africa, which is a developmental state. So surely, as a government institution, it should have goals that are tied to the developmental goals of the country, which is A, taking students through the higher education system and making sure that they provide free quality higher education and training. In this case of MUT, I heard the CFO talking about concessions, where he packaged concessions as some type of scheme that is used to make students access higher institution. But I want to tell you, VC, that's not the case. The concessions in the way that they operate are not in the way that was articulated by the CFO. In actual fact, concessions are the greatest barrier to entry for deserving students to enter into the yard of the institution. Let me paint a picture, VC. Maybe on average, per semester, for a semester student, it costs around 50,000 rands for accommodation and tuition. The concessions policy says that people who are owing amounts that are greater than 40,000 are supposed to pay 23% of that, no, not of that debt, but their whole institutional debt, and pay a registration fee. On average, if you are just making calculation, that amounts to around 18,000 per student per semester that a student should pay to gain access into the institution of higher learning. So it doesn't make sense understanding the demographic of the institution and previously where we come from as a people. So I think, Comrade VC, I just want to hear, what is your take on that? Also, I also want to speak about student affairs. I think DVC, Prof. Ramohale, he said a lot, which goes a long way in sort of appeasing what we are saying. But firstly, okay, I'll speak about housing. I know you spoke also about housing, Mamvisi. Sexual harassment, bribery, corruption is still the order of the day in that department. Abantu abangemuva kwalezi zenzo VC bayaziwa kune-statement ebhaliwe zabafundi ezikhona e-protection. Not that azikho, zikhona. If you can go there to protection, you will find the statements written by students about some housing officials about these acts. They are there at protection. You can go now and check. But these people are still within the employ of the institution and nothing is being done. I want to get your take, VC, on what is your take on those things.
Thank you.
I'm not done. Can I have a last one?
Okay, last one.
My last is on student affairs. Now, holistically. I know that the SDO, Mr. Ntuli has left. I mean, Dr. Ntuli has left. There are also other issues. Yeah. But Also, I want to come back to what UDVC has said. It goes a long way in making us feel that maybe isn't also right. But just last week, there was no buses. This weekend, there was no buses. Tomorrow, there is a program by the same department, Epozol, which is a budget program, maybe it's on a brotherhood. In the weekend, they said there was no money for buses. But during this week, they are having a program called the Brotherhood. Where did that budget come from? Also, I don't know if you know this, VC, but student structures, societies, clubs, and I think also the SRC cannot access their budget because someone is quote-unquote still looking at it. We are in March now. We are in March now, but there is someone who is holding students' budgets on a premise that they are still looking at it. For how long are they going to look at it? So please, VC, please intervene. I also want to get what is your take on these issues. Thank you, I submit.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can we then, colleagues, move to the other side? Let's give the chance. Okay. That one, then we'll move to the other side.
Thank you. Good day, colleagues. My name is Andy Siwe. I am from the library, the heart of the university. Quickly, I just have a few questions. First one, VC. Last year, towards the end of the year, you were doing AMA departmental visits, meet and greet. You've never been to the library. I don't know if you are still coming or I missed you somehow. That's the first one. Second one, I'm just going to echo what the colleagues have been speaking about, infrastructure. I have been in this university for 5 years now. I found tiles that are lifting in the library. They are still lifting. I found a lift that is not working. It's still not working. The shelves in the library that have books that VC, you give us so much money to buy, they are falling apart. As I speak right now, kune red tape along those shelves. Our students don't have access to those books. It's been, I don't know how long now. We do not have discussion rooms for our students, a simple space for our students to sit and discuss. But we want to be a leading university and we want to compete with other universities, but we don't have simple things as a discussion room for our students. We have the other day I went outside to buy food, which also is a problem that I work in a university, but I still have to go outside just to buy something to eat. I find students there, they are queuing. There's a lady there that I think waboni opportunity and bought a smaller nyana printer. And our students, they print there from that lady outside. We have printers in the library, VC, about 5, if not more. They have been sitting there for 5 years since I arrived, maybe even longer. They are sitting there, but our students need facilities just to print an assignment. And yet we have printers that you gave us money to buy. They are just sitting there. You are speaking about doing walks and seeing spaces in the university. I don't think you've been to the library just to see how bad things are there. And we are the heart of the library and we are expected to render a service with so much things that still need attention. Thank you.
Very much. Let's move. Let's try and be short, straight to the point.
Good afternoon, Program Director. And good afternoon to the VC and the executive and all protocol calls are observed. My name is Siya Bulela Mkwalo.
Program Director, I'm rising to make proposals. But before making a proposal or making those proposals, I want to first pledge our support to our active VC. I was inspired by her speech. It was a moving speech, high-level speech. And the area of concern which is troubling me in my mind is, will she be able to carry this alone? And I was happy to hear from one of the senior management committing support to her vision. But I think we must not only hear the words, we must see unity within the EMC. We must not be told. Secondly, as we commit our support in pursuit of her vision, she has touched on a number of critical areas. And we fully understand that she is dealing with a historical backlog. But we are here to support in transforming the university. But when we speak of transformation, I believe that we've got a transformation charter. I haven't seen it. If it exists, I haven't seen it. I'm just declaring. But if it does not exist, I think it's important for us not only to talk about transformation, but we need to have a transformation charter. And the summary of that charter must be lying on all the walls of the university. And that charter must also be driven by someone in a particular office. That's my first submission. The second submission, Chair, the VC has given us a snippet of what she has taken from the reports. I think it's audit reports, which talks about governance, poor governance, maladministration, and corruption. But the question that I have, for us as staff members at MUT, are we not supposed to have access to those reports for us to consume those reports and be able to live the vision of the university? Because for us to be given only the snippets is not going to assist us. She's interested in seeing us driving her vision or transforming the university. But we can't do that, Chair, without an informed background and understanding of what has been happening and what is currently happening and what needs to happen going forward. So my proposal is for the audit reports, Chair, to be made accessible. Or let me not only say audits, let me say the reports that ought to be consumed by us as staff members, because we are stakeholders in this university. The third one, Chair, which is a bit troubling me, it's around the reporting format that we use as the university. But I don't want to generalize this one. Within the division where I am, or maybe I forgot to indicate that I'm the Deputy Director for Sport and Recreation at MUT. You are the heart, we are the lungs. We keep you active. Chair, you will find that we report on quarterly basis. It's troubling me, really. You will find us towards the end of March, we'll be discussing problems that were discussed in, or that transpired, or problems that were discussed in the previous quarter. Meaning, we discuss issues after every 6 months, something like that. Or 3 months, yeah, let me say 3 months. We submit a report for the last quarter I'm referring to, let's say, the fourth quarter of the year. But we submit a report for that quarter towards the end of the first quarter of the next financial year or academic year, which to me will continue to cause problems to persist, because an action plan that was resolved in the last quarter will be discussed or will be reviewed towards the end of the next quarter. And I'm proposing, Chair, that we need to have monthly reports and monthly meetings if we are to improve and transform the system. As I'm about to conclude, Chair, in respect of your time, Chair, look, if I'm not mistaken, the first time I heard about the 27 million deficit, it was early last year. The question that I'm asking myself, is this amount going to remain the same for the next 5 years? What is the plan? I don't hear anything about the plan around reducing the deficit, because every time when we complain about budget, we'll be told about the 27 million. And if we don't get a plan, or we are not told about the plan, we will continue to suffer the same feedback for the next donkey years. So I'm appealing that we need to be told about the plan to cut on the deficit that we have up to zero, because it's also concerning that we don't have, what is this thing called? Cash reserves. It's concerning, Chair. We're supposed to be having cash reserves for any eventualities. Let me then, Chair, in the interest of your time, deal with the last one. I wish when the VC come back to the podium, Chair, at least to give us timelines, to say, I don't have a director in my office right now, but in the next 6 months, the director will be in my office. Because I don't want to leave this room jumping up and down like a popcorn or like Ustu, saying there are things that have been said, but there are no timelines. We need to know what is going to be done, when, and if possible, by who. And then the last one, Chair.
Thank you.
It's important for me to say this, Chair, that in this venue, every day between 4 and 6, there are aerobics for staff. It's free. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we move to that side? Can you get just last 3 hands from this side?
Greetings to one and all. Ngulungelwa Zuma. Ngenza e-building, second year, Alega Pre-Tech. I have concerns with regards to religious structures, no Pre-Tech, transportation, ne budget, yama structures. Les institution, ayive inga disregarda indaba yama religious structures. As we all know, a song ejoba silana, it is God. Yonke into esenzayo is God-based. So if disregard the one creator, sithi no, sinenkinga with finances, but we're disregarding religions, we're disregarding beliefs. We don't have support system from school when it comes to our religious structures. Uplitech, we really want to know ukuthi why uPretech ungasekho. Because nami ngangena ngoPretech. Nabanye bafuna ukungena ngoPretech. Why uPretech ungasekho? I-budget yama structures izophuma nini? Ngoba siyayidinga. Ngama Sundays sicela amabhasi. Awasafunela umgqibelo kuphela, sifuna nama Sundays ukuze sizofika la esikoleni sizokhonza. Siyakhonza sibaningi. Ama religious structures maningi akhonza Sunday. So we need buses on Sundays. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Let's get 3 hands from this side and we close. That's right.
Thank you very much. My name is Andy Sanzimande. I'm not going to waste any more time. All speakers who spoke before me have observed all protocols. I want to touch on 2 points, but before I do that, Comrade VC, I believe someone has been whispering incorrect information in your ears about the issue of buses. But I don't want to dwell much on that. The SRC, we clarified that since they are the voice of the students. So the first point I wanted to speak about is the ranking. MUT is currently ranked 24. Out of 24 universities we have in South Africa. Even University of Zululand is ranked higher than MUT. How is that possible? It's because we don't have researchers. No. Not that I'm undermining Ongoye, but this institution needs researchers. So I want to encourage you, Comrade VC, to please hire researchers, hire scientific researchers, because that way we can generate grants through articles that will be released, journals, books that will be written by the researchers. The Department of Higher Education releases grants for every journal, every article that researchers write. So we need researchers. We are in a university of technology, but we don't have researchers that research about innovation and technology. If we are being honest with ourselves, we must just go back to being called University of Technicon.
Oh. Thank you.
So we are even struggling to pay staff because we don't have researchers. Because researchers are the ones that are going to generate funding for us. Even grants are going to come. Because researchers, there's a lot of money, colleagues, that is being injected to institutions that have researchers. So we were in, for the interest of time, I want to mention that I will just conclude the second point. So I'm currently the SRC faculty chairperson of natural science. We have a problem there, Comrade VC. About 5 halls in North Campus specifically, that are without desk and chairs. I have written emails to maintenance, operations, and also procurement. Procurement even released a receipt confirming that they will purchase the desk and chairs, but it has been 7 months. There are no desk and chairs. Lecturers are flooding my inbox saying, no, if you are reading these emails, can you please see us so that you can confirm the students are without chairs, are without desk? Because the situation in North Campus, it's a first come, first serve situation. When you come first, you'll get a chair. If you come last, you start in the air.
Thank you for that.
Student can't be subjected to those conditions in the institution of higher learning. Please, Comrade VC, attend to the issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Second last one from this side. Yes.
Comrade VC, again. When the time we will. Comrade VC, if you are in a room and there's a toilet that is not flushed, you need to sort out the toilet fast because it shows it's not giving you a good smell. If you're sitting with the toilet unflushed, it meaning you're entertaining what is coming from the toilet. So, Comrade VC, if you're saying most of the money like the institution, yeah, we staff, but then staff as sabins. About during registration, when I'm a staff members, I feel I'm 11 like embassy. 11 o'clock, umuntu uyafika. Usazofika ahlale phansi enze ikofu adla ama fruits acabange, I realize, I relax. Yabo. On the other side, the registration iyaqhubeka. Ngizobe senishumisa next week registration iyaphela, ama semester siyaqala ukubhala. Comrade VC, if ukuthi you are saying we will, anikwazi ukuthi ngaba nabantu abawu 3 abenza umsebenzi owodwa at the same time lo bantu abawu 3 bengawenzi futhi lo msebenzi. But hence you saying ukuthi imali eningi yakwi staff member. Senzani ka the staff member ngoba sisebenzi. Ukubambula ini lapha ne step 7 Comrade VC, it's funny because bakhona la ngibabonini ubambe Comrade VC ulayini bahambe baye lunchini baye edele isikhathi sabo selunch, it's fine, but they are getting paid, it's true. Akhona ama student la during isikhathi registration u1 e step 7 akubu 1 kube ukwara pass 1 or pass 1. I don't want to mention your exam. What exam will you take? I'll be in Mangi Akon. But Comrade VC, those people are getting paid. And when you are saying you will, when? Possible if we are going to next week, Comrade VC. I submit. Thank you.
Thanks. That's enough. That's quite a lot for our VC and management. Okay, I'll hand over to the VC and management to provide responses. Thank you.
Pick from here, or you can find going up. I'm sorry. Okay. Because, but,
Thank you. Thank you so much, colleagues, for the second round of questions. Again, I will try and move fast. I have another engagement at 2 o'clock. But we will definitely address all the queries that have been raised. I noted what you said, Mr. Sithole Nkosi, about the progressive rates. We'll definitely look into that. Thank you for recommending that. And then my fellow colleague, Sister Nomsa Mkhwanazi, by the way, I'm a nurse. Once a nurse, always a nurse. Viva, nurse, viva. I noted your concern regarding communication, where things are happening, but there's no communication. At MUT, we have MACOMS, Marketing and Communications Department. At some point, I did discuss with the senior director at MACOMS that we need to look at our communication plan. Fortunately, we do have a notice board that we use for communicating matters to the community of MUT. So definitely, again, I would definitely make a follow-up on that one. But one thing I want to highlight, you raised an important point about the old structure, that there was nothing communicated to staff about what happened to the old structure. Now that we are, I did indicate that we are in the process of reviewing the structure. In fact, we are getting there because it has been towing and froing at AMC. Finally, a resolution was made that it has to be released for consultation and comments by staff. I don't want to say I was not there when the previous structure was approved, because you take responsibility. I'm sure you'd, throughout my presentation, you haven't heard me saying I was not there, because my belief is once you are there, you take responsibility even of things that happened before you joined. But I, without repeating myself, I want to say the previous structures were overloaded. As I indicated, I did indicate to you that the bulk of our total budget, it goes to personnel costs, which is not aligned with what DHET expect from us. So all the issues that you have raised of pathetic classes, appalling classes, desks that are falling apart, what have you? It's because the bulk of our budget goes to salaries. So I do not want to get there as to what happened to the old structure. But I want to indicate that the old structure, again, was overloaded. When I talk about 72% of the budget going for personal cost, I'm referring to the 2022 structure. Hence, we got into the business of reviewing the structure. I must indicate that the current structure is currently sitting at 65%. 65? 62 or 65, Mr. Bridgelow. But it's no way above what DHET prescribes. But of course, as I indicated, it's not a casting stone. It's still coming to you for comments. And I want to promise you that we'll also look at the comments that we'll receive from various structures. And then the third one around accommodation. I will ask the CFO to respond to that one. NESFAS, that has been closed, but we still have students that need accommodation. I want to say, colleagues, nothing, students in particular, I hear about this for the first time, that there are students who do not have residences. SRC, I had an engagement with the SRC. It was not brought to my attention because I would have attended to it at that point in time. But now that it has been brought to my attention, would definitely look into that. But the CFO would give a better answer to this. Now, the previous speaker made mention of Inkandla residence, that it was not full. Some block D, some levels at block D. I should have indicated that it was for the second time that I walked to the residences because of my previous experiences. I'm going to say this, where I was given conflicting messages at EMC. I invited the acting senior director. I get a different views or different reports, a conflicting report from what I got from the dean of students. As a result, I walked with the delegation to the residences to confirm the reports that I received. So beginning of this year, can't remember, I think it was, it should be February. Again, we walked for the second time to different residences, including block A and block and executive hotel. We did walk to this because, again, somebody mentioned, I think it's the president of the SRC, who indicated, Oguti, when we have our own residences that are not fully functional, yet there is a landlord that you are paying for more than 1,800 beds. What's happening to our, that's the reason why I walked, because I needed to understand, because since I joined, I've been hearing stories about Block A and executive hotel. So with the senior director and some of the executive members, we did walk. We did a walkabout to these blocks, and we noted. And there is a plan that is currently being worked on by our newly appointed senior director operations, which I'm proud to say he's hands on and he always comes in sneakers because he walks. I've joined him in doing the walkabout so that we do not always rely on the information because, as I indicated, there is a pressure on us. If ever one of the strategies of addressing, one of you mentioned 27 million, how then we can't keep talking about 27 million deficit? We need to come up with strategies, mitigating strategies, so that I don't stand here next year and say we have 27 million deficit. This year, I should be telling another story, right? There is no way we could move from a 27 deficit to a zero deficit. But at least I must tell a better story. That colleagues, last year, I indicated that we ended the academic year with a 27 million deficit. But this year, 2025, we've reduced it to 13 million deficit. Right? There must be what will makes me have a comfortable sleep or to sleep peacefully is knowing that at least we are bringing down the graph of this deficit, mainly because of the challenges that I have mentioned, that I have, like the our fees that are very low. We've done benchmarking. There is a person that we paid to assist us to do an analysis. MUT, it confirms MUT has been charging very low. We know the history of MUT. The reason why MUT is here, it was to increase access to the poor of the poorest. But we need to move with times because now it's biting us. That's one of the reasons why we have this huge deficit, besides corruption and maladministration, which is the order of the day here at MUT. The president of SRC again raised the issue that was raised previously by Mr. Mtimkulu of HR, policies, problems with HR. Colleagues, I want to say, last year, when I took over as the acting vice chancellor. I was still acting. We commissioned an audit for HR. And we did receive an audit report at the end of the year. I tasked the senior director HR to come up with an improvement plan. So we are hoping to receive the improvement plan sooner so that we see we could be able to track how those challenges are addressed at HR. It's a reality. There are challenges in HR. In fact, maybe let me mention this. I know my colleague from the library did mention that I have done the walkabout in many departments. I'm coming to the library. Yesterday, the reason why I have not visited it's because of the huge problems. You think you are there, you wake up, boom, on your face. And then you have to address issues where some staff members, senior staff members get suspended. Now you have to spend your time finding a person because a show has to go on. So this is what is eating up my time and again throwing me out of my plans. So definitely library I will visit. Coming back to HR. HR, it's the first unit that I visited. And if ever colleagues from HR are here, they would recall the question that I asked. I said, what is the problem here in HR? Why are you not doing what you are supposed to do? So we had a frank discussion with HR in the presence of the senior director, HR. But as I've indicated, an audit was done last year by a professional board. So we are waiting to receive an improvement plan that will use as a tracking system. Maintenance issues, I think Dr. Njanga say you have addressed those, but if ever you want to address this further, please do. The bursary students who are advised to pay in advance, I will leave that one to you, CFO, to address. Again, thank you, President. At least I have somebody who is supporting my vision. In fact, it's not my vision. It's what we should have done long ago, of ensuring that we have the right people to teach our students. If ever we have, I'm going to repeat it on the podium. I have said it before. If ever we still have staff members who do not have masters, they do not belong to the university. Because students have to be taught by people who have the right qualifications. And I did, and I must indicate in the name of transparency to the MUT community. We did serve those staff members, 13. When we started, it was Prof. Ramokhale was still the acting vice chancellor. Some vacancies, and there is moratorium on some of the, until our structure is approved. Somebody mentioned the financial policy and the role of CFO on campus. I hope he will address that one. He would know better about his role. All I know is that he's holding the purse for the university and ensuring that we have the right policies to manage our finances. Concession policy, you will talk about that as CFO. But colleagues, I want to mention, I did report at the last EMC, not this one, the previous one, not the one that you had on Monday, that our student debt has grown very high. Because that's one reason why we have the financial crisis, because our students are not paying. I know one of my colleagues here have asked about the pre-tech. The student one has asked about the pre-tech. That's one of the reasons why we closed pre-tech. But I will leave that to Prof. Ramokhale to give a better explanation. Because we can't offer a program for nothing. You have to pay for the services that we offer. But with pre-tech, it was not the case. Students were not paying. for the pre-tech program. Student affairs. Sexual harassment. Colleagues, I want to say this. I will not hesitate to act. If you are involved in maladministration, if ever you are involved in corruption, if ever doing sexual harassment. I have noted this and I will make a follow up. Because we cannot keep people rotten potatoes within our university. You know, the day of being, I mean, the time of being a darling and a sweetheart to everybody is gone. We are going to act. And I do not hesitate. I march you, shut the door. Whilst we are conducting the investigation. I am at the moment, I'm the most hated person. I've been called names. I have received threats, by the way, for doing what I have to do, for doing my job. But that's fine. But I am not going to stop. And there are currently investigations that are underway. As soon as we receive the report, we will act. We can't keep people who are really running down the university. I did indicate the three major problems highlighted by the four assessors, which is governance, maladministration, and corruption. So I'm not apologetic. It's okay, I can live with being hated, but I'm doing what I have to do, which is to eliminate rotten potatoes from the university. Because in order for me to drive my vision, whilst I'm taking 5 steps backwards, I end up taking 20 steps backwards. Because of people that are involved in all these shenanigans at Mangosuthu. So we will definitely look into those officials who are still here. At some point, I did talk to the acting head of security. I said it has been brought to my attention that at residences there are people who are not supposed to be there. There are people who are acting as landlords. I said, march and check. And eliminate those people who are there at the residences and they're not supposed to be there. And I have reported that to the current interim DVC RNP to say this was brought into my attention and we need to act. So I have not received that report. So I elevated it to the executive head to say I want the report that tells me that that has been sorted because we cannot have a people at our residences who are involved in all these activities. Because our residences must be learning and living spaces. Our students must be safe to be there. Fortunately, student affairs report to the VC currently with the current structure, but with the revised one, they will be reporting to somebody else. So I take responsibility for student affairs currently, because according to the current structure, student affairs report to the vice chancellor. So that's why I'm hands on when it comes to student affairs, especially because my mission is to ensure that students learn in a safe environment. They live in a safe environment. I have spoken about the library. Library, I'm coming, definitely coming. It's just that I'm distracted by all these things that blow on my face almost every day. But I will definitely visit and look at all these issues that have been listed before. That have been listed by my colleague. Sports, I like the way forward. And thank you, Sia, for mapping some of the way forward. Transformation Charter. My EMC members seated here, they will tell you that's one agenda item that served at the last EMC and it was approved. Colleagues, when I look at the reports, previous reports going back to 2019, it has been under discussion, this transformation, the institutional transformation plan, which I abbreviate as the ITP. Unfortunately, it was delegated to the acting senior director in the office of the vice chancellor. At the moment, as I indicated, since I moved into that office in May, Lone Ranger, no support. So, but There are good people within the university who have assisted me. I don't want to take credit where it's not due to me, who have joined hands with me, who have assisted me to craft some documents that served at EMC on Monday. And those documents were supported. So they will be shared with you for your comments. And maybe I need to indicate that in March, according to our schedule, we were expected to have a Senate colloquium. And it was planned that at that Senate colloquium, we will discuss transformation at MUT. Unfortunately, it had to move because we wanted to give space to registration and so forth. So it's scheduled for June. And we have identified the lady that facilitated a workshop for IF in 2023. So she will be facilitating a workshop for Senate. And those documents will be considered that served at the EMC. And then after that, there will be a transformation summit at MUT. Because my plan is that by the end of this year, we should have an institutional plan. It is so unfortunate that an organization of this magnitude does not have an institutional transformation plan. So thank you, Sia, for raising that. Access to assessor's report, registrar's office, I will task you to do that. I remember when I was preparing for my appointment for the interview as the DVC RIE, I Googled, I found some of the report, although I did not find all of them, but there was one or two that I found on the system. Others I had to request from HR. So, Mr. Kamane, if ever you could look into that, because these documents should be available to the MUT community so that you see what were the findings and the recommendations of the assessor, of the four assessors. But staff members who attend our Lekgotla, these documents have been shared. I know, DIPR, through, Dr. Likena, these documents were made available because we have had discussions. Even our internal, even our new strategy, we started by reviewing the assessor's report. We reviewed the report from the institutional audit because we wanted to know where are we coming from? What were the challenges? How then do we move forward so that our strategy addresses the challenges that were raised. So those DIPR is facilitating a consultative workshops with various departments. If ever we have not reached you, we are definitely coming. We've been to faculties, all faculties. We've been to divisions and we'll definitely come to you, including the SRC. Because at the end, we need to own the strategy. We need to say we were consulted and we gave input to the strategy. By the way, there is a planned launch. It will be communicated well in advance. It will not be here. It will be outside MUT where we'll launch, once it is approved, where we'll launch our new strategy 2026 to 2030. And I would want to see you in numbers at the launch. You spoke about the reports that they are done at month. Maybe let me address that one. When we report on quarterly basis, you can't report on the current quarter because reporting happens before the quarter concludes. So we always report at the last quarter. But at divisional level, at departmental level, at unit level, there is nothing that stops you from having monthly meetings. When I was appointed as the DVC, I visited all faculties, not because I was not DVC teaching and learning, but because I wanted to sell the idea of research. Right? Part of the discussion, I engaged with the deans. I asked them, how often do you have your meetings with your exco? And to my shock, I discovered that there were departments, there were faculties that did not have monthly meetings. I do not know how you run your units if ever you do not have monthly meetings. I even told them that in my previous life as the HOD of nursing, every Monday I used to have meetings. every Monday without fail, unless Monday is a holiday. You know that short meeting? And then, of course, the detailed one on Monday, because it assisted me to understand the issues that cannot wait for a man. I encourage you to do that. It will assist you. Pre-tech, I'm not going to talk about that. I'll leave that to, I did highlight one of the reasons, but Prof. Ramogale will talk about that. Sunday buses, to come to attending, because first of all, as I was sitting there, why would you leave residences to come to Mangosuthu for church? I'm not aware that there are churches happening here. For if you're in Roma, you go to your church in Maromain. If ever you are, you Lutela, you go to a church. I'm not sure if ever there are any religious, whatever that happens at MUT, that would make us to provide huge buses to pass you to come to Kalansund. But those few, we look into that, students, and see. But I have been a student. I remember when I was at Ongoye, by the way, somebody said something about Junizul as I was seated here. I was tempted to stand up and say, that's my alma mater. Be careful when you talk about Junizul, because Junizul, I'm where I am because of Junizul. Right? So it's my alma mater. I without fail, I went to church and I had to pay from my own pocket. I never expected any university to provide me with a bus to go to church. So I do not understand why we should give you buses to go to church. Because we can't provide buses on 5 days a week to come to for lectures, Saturday, if ever you have additional lectures, and then give you buses to go to church. Really, let's be realistic. I have just indicated that we incurred of 10 million, right? So now, if ever we are going to add more buses so as to take students to go to church, colleagues, let us be realistic. We can't. Otherwise, I'm coming back next year to say we incurred 15 million deficit for buses. If ever really we are going to. Instead of adding, let's look at ways of cutting so that I have good news when I stand here next year and say we have a deficit from 27, we are now at 14 million. I get work ethics, colleagues. I leave that to work managers. For sure, you don't expect the VC to go and stand at the gate with a cane. Mr. Principal, and used to cane all the latecomers. Angbas labo principal bisatap isaskatso gumalapan, but he used to stand at the gate. I'm sure you don't expect me to go and stand at the gate. I want to challenge line managers. Please monitor your staff. You cannot have a staff member. Recently, I had an engagement with one of the VCs. I mean, one of the DVCs, where I discovered that a staff member is working from home. I am this. Not who gave you the permission to work from home. When I am the VC, I'm here every day. It's Thursday. I'm here for the fourth day. Who gave you permission? I asked the line manager, said, DVC, did you give her the permission to work from home? Because we don't want to create precedents. Because everybody will ask to, it's kumnandi phela ukusebenzeka ngoba ugezi ugeza ngo 11 ujoine and upheke uphuthu whilst you are doing that. But you have a commitment, especially for a university that is falling apart, that has got so many issues that you have raised. Can you imagine if ever I stand here announce anyone who wants to work from home, please work from home? It's not going to work. So work ethics, HODs, my HODs present here, Mtemkul, no colleague back, my deans, Mr. Kevin Rams, please, work ethics. I'll leave that one to you. Please, let's instill work ethics. I mean, the people who report to me, you request for permission and you give reasons. I mean, I tell the because I also have a boss. That's chair of council. I tell my boss about my whereabouts. If I've got some meetings outside, I write to him so that he knows what I'm not at work. I am at Mpumalanga for benchmarking. I am at US for whatever. I tell my boss. So we cannot have staff members who work from home. It's a standard. It's known. You knock at their doors, they're not there because they're working from home. So that one I live with managers. So let me invite CFO first. and then Dr. Mini about research, and then Prof. Ramogale. And I hope colleagues, they are not going to take long. I'm giving each one a minute because we need to wrap up. Otherwise, when I call another VC's conversation, you will not come. But I would want to see you.
Good afternoon again. The first point was in terms of addressing. Sorry, can we just get some order? Silence. The first point was addressing the accommodation issue where it was brought to my attention. I'm actually shocked to find out today that some of our students are still not accommodated and not have been allocated in terms of the allocation that was done. I have been in the journey from the time the student accommodation process started this year, and I was engaged in the latter segment by the acting dean of student affairs to assist in the process in ensuring that all students are adequately accommodated. And in doing so, following the tender process that took place, we found that there was a shortfall of beds. We then embarked on a further emergency procurement in two batches, batch two and batch three, based on the statistics and information that was provided by our superintendent of housing. He's the leader of that process. And based on the data that he provided, we collectively went and secured adequate premises, and we were assured that all students have now been placed. So I'm quite surprised, but that will be addressed as a priority. The second one was the role of the CFO. The role of the CFO, amongst others, not only involves looking at student affairs, but supporting all departments, overseeing the treasury function, looking at the procurement process, and making sure that the finance function supports the other departments, mainly teaching and learning, and ensuring that the MUT functions and roles and responsibilities of other departments are not hampered in any way. So I was quite surprised that, you know, the role of the CFO was queried, but I'm sure that provided some light. Specifically relating to the bursary query that was raised, and the example that was reiterated was where a bursary letter was received, but the university had requested for the payment of arrears debts to be made. Again, this is in accordance with the MUT's policy insofar as student registration is concerned. It's not the CFO that makes that decision. It's not the finance department that makes that decision. It's a decision that's made by a policy which is gazetted, and the function of the finance department and specifically the CFO is to ensure that policy is executed. So remember, we followed the processes and the policies of the university to make sure that the registration process follows that process. Any deviations from that process not only creates a precedence, but it's against the policy. And the people or the persons or the team members that's not following the policy will be subject to ultimately disciplinary if it is established that those policies were not adopted. So unless there's a change in policy, then we have to follow the policy that governs the registration process. And I think aligned to that was the question that were raised again on concessions. Again, the concession was not a making of the finance department or the CFO in his capacity. The concessions was considered at the EMC forum, and a decision was taken as to how concessions will be applied for this year. And all the finance department did was to formulate that concession into the student handbook for 2025
and they executed that process. So it's not where, the concessions are not consistent with how it affects the student. When a student registers at the university, apart from the teaching and learning process that goes alongside that process, it is the responsibility of the student or the beneficiary of the student to make sure that the student fees are up to date to get into the institution in the ensuing year. It is a requirement that all fees are up to date, and the concession kicks in where there are fees outstanding, and then the university allows for a certain element of concession to be applied. I followed the calculation where we said that the amount can be in the order of 18,000 rand before the students step foot into the university. That is because of how the policy is developed. Everything is based on policy, whether it's the student financial aid policy, whether it's procurement, whether it's teaching and learning, whether it's graduation. We are governed by the university in terms of policies and procedures. And I just, at this point, categorically want to say that we have to follow the policies. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good afternoon, Madam VC, members of EMC, colleagues and students. Research is one of the most exciting things to be involved in, and I'll try not to speak too long. First, I would like to talk a little bit about rankings. There are 26 universities in South Africa. So if you looked at the ranking system where we are number 24, it means that the other two universities didn't even make the grade. In general, if you look at the DHET report and you do a best fitted curve, Mangosuthu is on a steep increase in the research output. I usually look at the rankings, even though most universities frown on the rankings because all the practices in doing the rankings are not always ethical. So if you look at the system where there are more than 30,000 universities, it's kind of like more fair. And if you look at those kind of rankings, Mangosuthu falls kind of like in the middle of those ranking systems. And the last time I checked, Mangosuthu was one of only three universities to increase in their ranking. And we actually increased with 100 spaces. We overtook 100 universities in that issue. And so we were the South African university who increased most in ranking. So something that I am very proud of. But like I said, rankings are very controversial, so we do not put much effort on that, but our picture doesn't look bad. When we talk about having the best academics to teach our students, we have amazingly talented people at the university, most of them, and when we wanted to have better people and appoint better people. So our HR department, Mr. Brishwal, is currently busy with, together with the academic, the deans, and I think Prof. Ramugali, to review the job descriptions of academic staff members. And that will result in appointing stronger people with a stronger research background. Our biggest problem is not so much in the people we have and the ones that we appoint, but more on keeping our best researchers. Because mostly they leave because we don't have postgraduate students, and it's career suicide not to have a pool of students that you can supervise. So if our staff members want to promote themselves and their careers, they have to supervise students at other universities, and they don't always have a fair deal, but they still do it, and they are loyal to MUT, and I think we should appreciate them and tell them that it doesn't go unnoticed, the extra miles that they go. we were talking about also funding. In 2003, Mangosuthu got about 4.5 million external funding from research grants and contracts. It increased to just under 9 million in 2024. So even with research funding, we are making great strides in increasing. The problem with research funding, the really big monies come with the number of students that you include in your research proposals. And as we do not have master's and doctoral degrees, we are often excluded of some of the bigger grants and not allowed to apply for them. But I do hope that soon our situation will improve and with the students, research will grow. Thank you. Thank you, Prof.
Thank you very much, Program Director. I was going to actually also talk about university ranking, but Dr. Mini has answered that question brilliantly. All I can say, colleagues, is that there's a lot of politics involved in university ranking. And the criteria developed are always the criteria that will suit the institutions of those people who develop the criteria. So that's how, that's the game. You know, it's a psychological game that is being played. Several years ago, MUT was the best performing university of technology in terms of student success. The old South African Technology Network did that analysis, and for several years were the best performing university. But we never got into the newspapers. Why? Because for some people that is not important. Other things are, if your students do well, yeah, you will not get the headlines. You will get the headlines if you achieve in certain areas where they are strong. So we have to be careful about the politics of university ranking. If you look at the back there, there's a poster that says your mental health matters. University ranking is about mental health. It's about psychological games. Who is above whom? You know, who wants to be more self-confident than another? So we have to be careful. The idea sometimes is just to create a hierarchy so that those who are said to be at the bottom, you feel so bad about yourself and you don't even have the energy to do anything. So it is a psychological game. Today, if somebody were to ask you, what is the largest economy in the world? What is the largest economy in the world today? Is it the US or is it China? But some people say it's the US. Now, it depends on the criteria you're using. Come to Africa. What is the largest economy in Africa? Is it Nigeria or South Africa? Again, it's about the criteria that you are using. So you can manipulate these things to suit yourself. So I think Dr. Mini dealt with that brilliantly. The second question that I was asked to address is the one about the pre-tech. The VC is right. We used to have a problem with pre-tech, students not paying. They'll just pay the registration fee and that would be the end. But what happened last year, we experimented. We said, let them pay up front the entire fee so that there's no debt. And we were amazed. Students paid. And we were able to fill the class. So I was talking to Dr. Njangas, who was the acting DVC teacher and learning last year, that perhaps we need to look at this issue of the pre-tech again. Because if students are able to pay, and it was demonstrated that they can pay, maybe we need to talk about it. And we'll have a conversation with the acting registrar and the dean. And then we'll be able to give you a way forward. So, but at least we are happy that the experiment that we had last year worked. And any further news, will be communicated to you in due course. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prof. Colleagues, that brings us to the last item. I will then invite our VC to come and give us closing remarks. Thank you, colleagues, for being an orderly audience.
At least I'm jumping onto this one for the last time. It's not easy. Colleagues, I'm not going to be too long, a minute. I just want to take this opportunity and thank you once more. I look around. There are empty seats, but you have persisted to stay until the end of the session. And I do not take this lightly. So I wish to thank you. There is so much that you would have been doing in your little corners, but you decided to join me for this conversation. And it gives me hope that at least I'm not alone in this. I have you. Please, I plead with you, walk the journey with me. And where you have brighter ideas to come and share with me, please do. Okay. Where you have brighter ideas, please come and share with me. And where we are not doing well, Please bring that to our attention. And we have noted the areas where we need to improve. And I promise you, when we have our engagement next time, I will start by giving a report on how we have addressed the issues that you have raised. I want to say some universities commence the 2025 academic year with challenges. I received about two or three phone calls from other VCs to say, "Hi, Professor Sibiya Knox, please share with us. How are you doing it there at Mangosuthu? Because we are fairly new, but you're not on the news that your university is on fire, just like we are. We are doing second term as vice chancellors, but we are on fire and not MUT. My response was that it's not me. I haven't done any magic, but it's because of the people that I work with. So thank you so much, colleagues, and please make me proud again at the end of this year. We conclude the year with no students. I know Mtimkhulu, hey, when you subside, you call them a staff protest. So I'm hoping that we'll conclude this year without any staff and student protests. Of course, we will continue engaging. And again, I want to put it on record that I'm working towards having a platform where we will engage with people that represent you as staff members of MUT so that we engage, we do not find ourselves reacting. Lastly, I want to say, colleagues, please read Udengezi. I don't want to explain what Udengezi is. There is a monthly newsletter that comes out and it carries a lot of things that we have done, that some of the projects that I've led or that I lead as the vice chancellor. And it's one of the tools that I use to communicate our achievements and challenges and whatever that is currently happening or that's currently happening at MUT. So I encourage you, please read the Udengezi. So thank you so much. It's a pity that we did not prepare lunch. If I had known Jade that we were going to take this long, I would have organized something. Last but not least, let me thank my colleagues, the executive management. Thank you so much for joining me. Otherwise, by now, I wouldn't have even the voice. Maybe I would be shaking, but because of your support, you have made my life easier in responding to questions. Last but not least, thank you, Jade, for organizing this. I know you worked around the clock and you have made this happen. Colleagues, until we meet again at the next VC's conversation, you are reminded.
This is a MUT Radio podcast.